The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
My name is Elbert Lewis Jr.
And I'm Alan McIntyre. And together we welcome you back to our show, Black on Black Commentary. And the intended audience for our show is the black community, yet others are encouraged and welcome to tune in. Each and every one of us has a unique bias when it comes to change or certain subjects. And I should warn you that the content of our program episodes is probably unlike anything you've heard coming out of the black community.
Again, I'd like to welcome you back and encourage you to keep an open mind and think for yourself. If you're not African American, we hope you'll listen in to our show as well. Our program is intended to educate our listeners and provoke serious thought. Each of our episodes will deal with a different topic of importance. Are you ready for some open and honest black on black commentary? Great, because it's time we talked. You know, just thinking about our the way our last conversation, our last podcast ended, I want to talk about Obama's effect on black America and as far as the stereotype and, you know, the condition of the black community going forward. I know you have some very strong ideas about how Obama developed his philosophy, his political philosophy, and the influences in his early life. But before we get into that, I just want to ask you, what kind of effect do you think Obama's presidency is going to have on the condition or the future of the black community in America?
I feel as though he has set the black community back. Therefore, we're going to kind of have to regroup, hit start, and get the moving forward. That's pretty much where I'm at with regard to Obama. I think that he has increased racial tension. I think he has caused a lot of people to envy people for their wealth creation. And when you do that, that kind of puts us on a backwards. It kind of just sends us backwards in this whole American experience.
Yeah, I think he's definitely not done anything to decrease the amount of dependency and especially in poor black communities, and I think that's his biggest failure. But that said,
you mean to decrease
the dependency. Decrease the dependency,
right.
Absolutely.
He hasn't decreased it.
He has not.
Okay, absolutely.
He has not.
That and the numbers clearly show that.
Right. So with that said, now tell us what you think about how he came to be the Obama that he is today.
That comes from his upbringing. He was brought up as a revolutionary. He was brought up anti-American. He was brought up anti-constitutional. He was led to believe that America wasn't a very good place and hadn't been very good to the rest of the world. He doesn't buy into the idea of American exceptionalism. Now, the reason why I can say this is because I've really studied his background with regard to who his mother was, who his ideological father and mentor was, which was Frank Marshall Davis, arguably his real father.
I don't mean to cut in, but you're saying he was groomed from childhood to be the kind of person he is, or did it start when he was older and had some political awareness?
No. This began very, very early in his childhood. When you consider that he was mentored by Frank Marshall Davis beginning at the age of 10, and Frank Marshall Davis was a card-carrying communist, and Frank Marshall Davis taught him, you know, a lot of different radical, hateful things about the United States and the United Kingdom. And also, you have to look at his grandfather. You know, his grandfather was in that same line of Frank Marshall Davis, probably minus most of the racial overtones. He was a communist, And he subscribed to that whole philosophy, that whole ideology as well. And his mother, well, let me tell you about his mother. His mother was very radical, very anti-American. She didn't subscribe to America as me and you subscribe to it.
Yeah, well,
she saw it as basically as an evil empire.
Yeah, they had, I don't know about her being radical, but there had to be some kind of problem. She wanted to live in Indonesia because women are definitely second-class citizens. That's a Muslim country. And so for a white woman to be raised in this country with all the privileges that white women have, for her to want to live in Indonesia in the Muslim society, I think there had to be a screw loose somewhere. But this is what I'm trying to get to. Obama, as a child, most 10-year-olds, they're not going to be concerned about political issues. They don't understand communism. Hell, there's not too many grown-ups in this day and age that understand communism. So to expect a 10-year-old, I kind of have a problem believing that he's been socialized and reared to be the socialist that we've come to believe that he is. So where was the real influence that set him on his path?
Now, you said, where did his real conversion take place?
Right, right.
And once again, I'm going to go back to those most impressionable years. Because let's talk about your conversion. Let's talk about my conversion. Let's talk about your development. Let's talk about my development. I know that at the age of 10, every word that my father said, I clinged to. And it really helped define who I am and my worldview today, to an extent. So naturally, if Obama as a child, from early on, but most especially once he became 10 and Frank Marshall Davis mentored him for 8 years until he left high school. I mean,
okay, in fact,
what else can we point to?
If it was long term, then maybe I could see your point.
Oh, yeah, literally.
Okay,
after
high school, he went on to college.
Okay,
so
let's talk about that.
Because evidently he had a very successful collegiate career. I mean, he went on to earn a law degree at Harvard.
Well, I don't know how successful I would say his collegiate career was, and certainly there were influences on these university campuses. I mean, you both know who resides there. That's a liberal bastion,
right?
You know,
no doubt about that.
And he's really going to be developed. As a matter of fact, that's probably when everything began to accelerate itself. And then once he left these universities, he finds himself out here in the real world. Okay, and where do we find him landing at that point in time? In Reverend Wright's church. Okay, now he's a radical. He's a liberal. He subscribes to black liberation theology and all this crazy stuff.
Yeah, I really don't understand that.
so then let's move beyond Reverend Wright. Let's look at his associations, Bill Ayers, and all these radical people that, and Saul Alinsky, which was a huge influence. As a matter of fact, Saul Alinsky wrote the book Rules for Radicals. That's the liberals' Bible. That's the Bible for radicals. And Obama is the foremost authority on that book. And he was teaching that type of radical community organizing to blacks and community organizers in the inner city.
That's why I kind of question that. There's no doubt that Obama is intelligent. But I kind of question the smartness, because here you are trying to organize, as a community organizer, trying to organize people who, by their predicament or their place in life, have demonstrated that they're not able to function in this society. So how do you think you're going to organize them to be effective when they can't be effective in their own personal lives? That's why I just have a whole problem with this community organizer, Saul Alinsky. He's going to, you know, somehow organize the masses to somehow demand an equal share of America, when you're trying to organize people who are disorganized, can't organize their own lives. So how are they going to help you? I just doubt the whole concept.
Well, I can agree with you doubting that. I can see how you would doubt it. But you have to see it from their perspective. As a community organizer, I'm the organizer here, okay? I'm in charge. I just need some low-level people that are willing to follow my orders. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
And that's how they see these people, as useful idiots. They're not asking them to build a rocket ship. They're asking them to listen to what I'm telling you to do and go out and do it. That's simple.
Hmm.
all the interactions that take place above that politically and in the universities and whatnot, they're going to take care of that as far as the leadership.
What I hear you describing is a charismatic leader. But when we look at Obama's performance in office, he has not fulfilled that. He has not led a movement. He has not rallied the people, not only black people, but he hasn't rallied anybody. He's only gotten two major programs or bills through Congress. And so, in a sense, if he's operating in the style of Saul Alinsky, being the community organizer and being the great leader, the great organizer, he's completely failed at that, from my point of view.
I would agree to an extent he has failed, but he was able to, at the very least, become president. And from that position,
So did Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, but
that's not really when you think about it.
And Jimmy Carter was a very effective president. Let me tell you why. No, you have to understand what I'm about to say.
I didn't mean to laugh, but...
If I can finish my statement, you'll stop laughing.
Okay.
He was very effective in doing the same thing that Obama is doing, and that's destroying America. That's their objective. So you have to, once you understand the left, you understand they're being quite effective. Now, from where me and you stand, we don't think they're very effective with regard to what we would like to see. But they're very effective at their agenda. They have an agenda. Mm. It's to collapse America and reinvent it. Fundamentally transform. You know who said that? Reinvent it into something else.
Okay.
When you look at it that way, he's been very successful.
Okay, but let's move off.
And there's more to come from this guy.
that's probably true. He's got 3 years to go. Yeah. But let's move off in another aspect. Do you think Obama's governing style promote or increase racism?
It promotes racism because the way he governs is very divisive, and people that they're going to be these people. Let me just say this. There'll be white racists. He's going to really inflame them. He's going to incite them because if I'm a white racist and I'm looking at Obama's governing style and I heard what he said the other day, and remember, I'm this white racist, and he says, well, I'm just going to bypass Congress. I got a pen. I got a phone. And I'm basically saying he's going to do what he wants to do. I'm going to say, as a white racist, I'm going to say that nigga's out of control.
But in a way, he's an ultimate uppity black man. Is what you're saying.
He's a narcissist, and yes, he is an uppity black man. He's an uppity black white man. I always like to make sure that I put that out there. He's black and white.
But that has always been a problem with certain segments of the white community when they see a black person in a position of power and authority. They have a problem with him.
I just gave you an example of that segment.
Right. But did that increase racism, or did they just bring it out in the open, something that was already there?
With regard to that segment that is already racist, it helps to bring it out.
And does it have an effect on blacks in general in this country, or is it all directed towards him?
Let me tell you the effect that it will have on blacks in general. I think you can take a white person that isn't racist, isn't prejudiced, and they have black friends, they interact very well with the black community, with their black friends. I think in a lot of ways it can cause them to resent black people. I tell you why. Because you got this guy Obama here, and when it's necessary, he doesn't really do anything for the black community, but when it's necessary, he likes to create this perception that he's so pro-black and looking out for black people and so on and so forth. Well, I can see any white person wanting to resent that.
But that rhetoric is fine, but the reality is he hasn't really done anything per se, at least in my way of
thinking,
that benefits blacks in particular.
Let me tell you what I hate as a black man. Let me tell you what absolutely drives me nuts. Mm. Do you know, until I open my mouth, 10 out of 10 white people assume I voted for Barack Obama?
I'm sure.
I do not like being associated with Barack Obama. I'm embarrassed that when I walk down the street, chances are if somebody's looking at me and they happen to be a Caucasian and it dawns on them, I wonder what his political affiliation is. Well, hell, what do you think they're going to conclude?
I look at it this way. As far as I'm concerned, Obama would not be in office if there wasn't a lot of white people voting that didn't vote for him.
Well, but there was 49 million that voted against him. There was what, like 54 million that voted for people.
Right.
I'm saying as far as people, total numbers.
Right.
So, but I'm talking about the people that didn't vote for him.
But does that disprove racism's impact on Black America? Because after all, there's millions of white people that voted for this Black man.
How racist can white America be when tens of millions of them go out and vote for this guy who has a name in the first place, like Barack Hussein
That's
Obama?
That's what I thought would sink him. I thought the Hussein part would sink his candidacy.
And some of these people that voted for him, many of these people that voted for him had some idea about his radical past. But they excused that. They excused it. You know why? Because he was Black. And some of them, somewhere in the back of their mind, said, well, maybe, maybe, because they begin to buy into this whole argument
that
America is evil.
As competent, as a definite.
Why? Because he could read a teleprompter?
A definite change from the Republican administration that preceded him. And they saw that maybe he has something to offer the country.
That is an absolute stretch, and I'm going to tell you why. Let me tell you why that's such a major stretch. Okay, I'm going to tell you why. This is what I never understood, because there were too many red flags. You take Barack Obama, okay? I heard people say, he speaks very well. So I'm saying, in my head, I'm like, okay, he reads a teleprompter pretty well, okay? And I said, okay, I can see how that can
As opposed to Bush not reading it very well?
Well, now we see what happens when his teleprompter malfunctions, though. He makes Bush look like a scholar.
I wouldn't go that far, but
hey, you need to go watch some video.
Let me say this.
Okay,
go ahead.
If I haven't lost my thought, Obama, there were a lot of red flags about Obama and his so-called intelligence. Every now and then when he would go off script, It never ended up very well. Or if his teleprompter malfunctioned, it never ended up very well. Or how he hid his educational records. And so I'm like, why is he hiding that? You know, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, that's probably because, going back to any other president, I don't recall people demanding to see his college, any other president.
Everybody's produced it. Everybody's produced it.
I don't think so.
Everybody's produced it.
I don't remember there being an issue with any other president.
As a matter of fact, they made light of how John McCain and Bush, that they, you know, wasn't necessarily scholarly students.
Right. But last point, and I don't want to send you off on too much of a tangent, but do you truly believe Obama's is intent on moving America towards a socialist nation?
I don't believe it. I know it. And I'm holding part of the proof right here in my hand. It's my pamphlet called We the People. Mm-hmm. There's undisputable facts in this pamphlet. But there's so many undisputable facts.
And what does that portend for Black people? Because if enough white people believe that, by association or stereotype, they believe that Black people would be allied with him towards moving the nation towards socialism.
Well, you have to understand there's a lot of people that subscribe to that, white and Black.
Right.
Because they're indoctrinated through our educational institutions. And that's how he got elected, to be quite frank. That played a very large role in him becoming elected. You know, a lot of people in our society is subscribing to this whole socialist communist movement. And we've got to do something about it. It's very difficult for people where I stand to do something about it, because we don't really have a way to rapidly disseminate and educate the voting electorate.
I kind of agree with that.
Because we don't control these institutions of higher learning. We don't control major media outlets. And hell, we don't even have enough cohesiveness in the Tea Party movement, which is what I'm working to do, to get them to function as one organism with the main goal and focus of educating the electorate. If each and every Tea Party and Liberty group across this country, and we cover all 50 states, every county, would participate in what I'm doing, we could very rapidly, overnight in 6 months, educate the electorate and have the most educated electorate that we've ever had in the history of this country. Therefore, we wouldn't make the types of mistakes that we made in 2008 and 2012. We have to counter the argument of the left. The way you counter the lies and distortions of the left is by feeding people the truth.
Right.
You cannot trump the truth. It's really that simple of a process, but for some strange reason, I haven't been able to get the momentum that I need, the support that I need to really push this agenda forward 50 states, every county.
But let me put your mind at ease a little bit.
I don't think you can do that, man. Okay. Last night I didn't go to bed at about 3 a.m.
Obama can't run.
That's okay. And there's another Obama waiting in the wings called Hillary Clinton.
Odds are we're going to have a Republican administration.
I certainly hope so, but I do not want a rhino because that would be just as bad as Obama. And with that being said, we have a country to save.
I can agree with that. I'm on board. Give us some thought, and together, perhaps we can all ensure our country's future history and have it be something we could be proud of.